At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Instacart is on a mission to have you not leave the couch this basketball season. Because between the pregame rituals and the postgame interviews, it can be difficult to find time for everything else. So let Instacart take care of your game day snacks or weekly restocks and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Because we hear it's bad luck to be hungry on game day. So download the Instacart app today and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
All right, let's go. You're rolling with Jason and John, 92.9 FM ESPN. It's all done. It's Tuesday, April 8th, the day after the men's national championship game, and the results are in. They were shocking to me. Maybe not to some of you. But to see Houston, which we said advanced to the national title game after Duke allowed it to, after a Duke collapse, to see Houston collapse last night, I think that's what happened. Florida gets the win. National title, Todd Golden's your national championship coach. 65-63, come from behind victory. Houston had led by double digits, and there down the stretch could not execute, and it was Florida's defense. I was talking about this with John right before we came on. Florida's defense that was that stood out there at the end. The team lauded for its offense all year. Todd Golden was reminded, folks, afterwards, we got a pretty good defense too, and boy, were they getting stops. Four straight possessions, including the last two, really bad, but four straight possessions without a shot, and it ends up to, it's going to haunt Kelvin Sampson probably for the rest of his life. Probably. That's how over it felt like this thing was and how close Kelvin Sampson felt to his first national championship. We'll talk about it. I'm very eager to hear my partner's thoughts. We did not text much last night. I figured John's worked hard this college basketball season. We talked about he's right at the end. I saw the post, John. And it did. It sort of summed up everything about the season. The post, we are here now. It's all over.
Yeah.
But we didn't talk after that. And so I'm very eager to get your thoughts about that Florida comeback. Was that Houston blowing it? Or Florida taking it, sort of as we discussed with Duke Houston. But I'm surprised we're here.
I've got some numbers for you.
I'm surprised we're here. Grizzlies back at it tonight, and this is business. This is all business. I don't care about fun. Steamroll Charlotte.
You don't want to have any fun.
So we can get to the bigger games against Minnesota and Denver, right? No games!
Right.
And a 14.5-point line would seem to indicate that Vegas doesn't think there's going to be any games. Either good news is Ja Morant is not on the injury list. All right, food poisoning's behind us. Mock draft 4.0 from Mel Kiper. And he may be done. He may be washed. That's my take. That's my take. My opinion. But what it really is a tease. Because there's some things in his 4.0, it's two rounds, that I just can't believe.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is?
And Field Yates was challenging him this morning. You know, he called Fields, you know, young Fields. He sort of dismisses ESPN's Field Yates,
right,
who's now on draft coverage with him. He's sort of become the Todd McShay.
Yeah.
And he dismisses young Field.
Right.
You know, because he's fairly new to the game compared to Mel, who's done it forever. And I'm just telling you what, I don't know if Mel and is just trying to draw attention as he gets older and closer to retirement, or if he's really got intel.
Yeah.
But some folks have moved up and some folks have moved down. I'm surprised by both. We will talk about it.
Yeah, lots to get to.
We're close to draft. 2 weeks and some change.
Close to draft.
Your Raiders going to get Ashton Jeanty. Get excited, John. I know it's been a long college basketball season.
Yeah.
I'm a lot.
I want to do the whole show in the Grizzly Growl, man. I want to do the whole show.
A lot of good still ahead, including the rest of this NBA regular season.
That's right. That's right. I'm excited about the playoffs. We're getting very close to the postseason, so that'll be a good time. I don't know if it'll be a good time for the Grizzlies, but
we're going to find out.
It's a good time for people that enjoy basketball outside of their – the people that can put aside their team, right, the people that can enjoy the product, you know, for what it is. I know we do local radio, but, you know, you need to be able to put your local team down sometimes and just appreciate the entire sport, you know.
Yeah.
Such a one-track mind here sometimes. Not just here, but, you know, just enjoy the sport. Be a spectator.
I agree.
You know?
No, we are a local radio.
Yeah.
I consider us, if it's okay with you, a national-like show. And that what we do, while there is a focus on local, could be. Now, we could maybe be a Field of 68 show. Now, you let me have that dream.
Oh, I think you can have the dream. I'm not going to tell you not to.
We know national can mean a couple of things, both individual and then for what we do as a as a team.
Yeah.
I want to continue to think of us as you continue to rise individually, nationally.
Yeah.
As a national-like show. Is that okay?
Yeah, no, I think, you know.
We are local, though.
We started locally, but there's a lot
still
of things
really
that have
local.
Happened, yeah. You know, since then. I mean, how many local shows can say that they were at the Final Four, you know, without a team being there? Without having a team there.
You have the hat to prove it.
I'm wearing the
and
hat.
And we see the video and the posts.
And you see the post. And you see, the, I mean, come on, man. I mean, that was a huge thing for this show, man. That was like, we're going down there to send a message and make a statement.
It was.
And we did. And we made a statement. And
very
now
proud.
I'm back.
Very proud.
And I'm still a little tired, but you
we
know
can
what?
I hear it. I'm trying to
I
lift
can
you.
Sleep when I'm dead is the idea here.
There's the attitude we need.
So... Hey, a lot to get to on the show today. Jessica Benson is going to join us at 11:25. We'll talk to her about the Memphis Grizzlies as they are trying to go for 3 in a row tonight against the Charlotte Hornets. Ja Morant off the injured list, injury report. So we'll talk to her about, you know, her impressions now that the Grizzlies have finally won some games. Tuomas Iasalo and the future here under. I will say, like. I appreciate the drop. We use it a lot, don't we?
It's a corrector.
It is.
It's like guardrails in case it gets too crazy.
It's just going to be what it is. You know what I mean?
Well, I'm interested to see at what point are we ready to take the training wheels off.
When he's the full time guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think
because we're all going to have to get a good enough pronunciation that we can go forward
or
and
I
this
think,
remain
like,
comfortable.
It's going to be a deal.
Many
where
of you are
I
still
just
butchering.
Refer to him as his initials, T.I. Like, it's just going to be one of those deals because it's just not something that.
Iasalo.
I don't mean this in a disrespectful way. It's just not something that rolls off.
I think what's going to happen is we're going to Americanize it, John, as I've heard some do, and it's just going to be Iasalo. It's just going to be Iasalo.
It's not.
So
it's
that's
not,
where we're headed. I think many are already there.
It's not meant to
where
be
you don't hold
an
out
insult. It's just what we do. It's just what we do in America. You know what I'm saying? You just assimilate whether you like it or not, and you get what you get. So anyway, we'll talk to Jessica Benson about all of that and more at 11:25. Also talk to her about the Final Four. Then at 1:25, we're going to continue the Grizzlies conversation with Drew Hill. He is actually going to join us, and we'll get his thoughts on tonight, on the rest of the season, playing, no playing, lots more to come. So that's the show today. Looking forward to it. What a game last night. What a fitting end to the NCAA tournament. We had a fantastic basketball game.
Interesting
Houston,
you said that. I thought some would disagree in terms of aesthetically speaking.
Yeah.
But I'm with you.
Yeah.
That was a great game.
I thought the struggle to score kind of made it better because every shot that went in mattered a little bit more because both defenses by the end of that game had absolutely sunk their teeth in to the offenses. Houston, Florida. Florida is your national champion. Even though they only led for like 70 seconds or something,
mm-hmm.
I don't even know if it was that long. But they basically stole the money off the counter and ran.
1:04.
1:04.
64.
That's 64 seconds that they led in the game. And some of that was at the beginning of the game, right? So they basically just ran into the gas station. or the bank, took the cash off the counter, and got off. It was a bank robbery. Not that they didn't deserve to win because they did what they had to do, but just in terms of the way it felt, it was like, did that really just happen? Did that really just happen? Houston was up 12 in the second half. It was 42-30, and you're like, this is it.
Mm-hmm.
Florida's luck's run out. They're not going to be able to come back against this team. They can come back against Texas Tech. They can come back against Auburn. They can come back against UConn. They ain't coming back against Houston and their number one defense in America. And especially with how Walter Clayton Jr. had been playing, I mean, it was like Bill Belichick, right? It was like, your best player is not going to beat us tonight. That's what Kelvin Sampson decided. But you could only hold him down for so long because he hits that and one, then the floodgates kind of opened up. I mean, relative to what he was doing, it was like the floodgates opened up, right?
Yep.
Made a couple threes, hit a tough shot, and you know, an and one, and it kind of sparked everything. And so Houston winds up blowing that 12-point lead. And Emmanuel Sharpe, you got to feel bad for him. He just kind of, you know, spontaneously combusted there in the last minute of the game. Dribbles off his leg. That he has the moment now, where, you know.
If you look at that, Florida defender made a great play to make him dribble that ball off his leg.
Oh, totally.
That was Florida defense.
It was ill-advised to drive into three defenders anyway. I don't really know what he was hoping to get out of that.
And then Clayton Jr. getting over there on that shot at the end. A guy that picked it up offensively in the second half, had zero at
the
end, but was still locked in defensively.
You're exactly right. So I mean, that was the difference.
Making defensive plays down the stretch.
Yep.
You're right. I thought Houston had control in a way where it felt like first half, you know, calls were going their way. What was clear, and I'm not using this as an excuse. I'm not even saying it necessarily opened the door all the way and ushered, you know, Florida in. But the game changed in terms of how it was called. And I'll get to why, you know, the point there. But it was tighter in the second half, which helped Florida.
Very much so.
Because Houston's bigs got in foul trouble. And that gave Clayton Jr. confidence. I can go down the lane now in a way that he had none in the first half. He had decided, you know what, the way we're going to have to win this game, I'm going to have to pass it. I'm going to hit these guys on these rolls because I don't have it tonight. And so once Houston's bigs got in foul trouble, it opened things up. He hits the and one. Then he's coming around a screen for a three. And while he still just finished 3 of 10, it was him getting his confidence back offensively at a time where Houston offensively was about to – you know, I think in many ways thought they had it won.
Yeah.
Because you stopped executing down the stretch. Those plays, John, were for Cryer. And, you know, Sharp ends up with them, especially that last one. And, you know, Kelvin Sampson, you can say this after the game, but he says, you know, they weren't trying to win the game with a three. His point was, man, we got to get a shot up. Two points is what we need right there. And so they end up doing something with Sharp taking that shot and then not shooting it and can't pick the ball up. That was just completely against the game plan. They were trying to get it to Cryer. You got to credit Florida there for, again, good defense. But the way the game was called and Houston's bigs who had dominated the game, they had Florida's bigs punked.
Yeah.
Every time they would touch the ball, they were like traveling. They weren't even looking to score anymore.
Yeah.
But that changed in the second half.
Yeah.
And part of it was how the game, you know, once Houston's bigs were in foul and had to be, you know, aware of that, it changed Florida's confidence level. Those bigs start scoring.
Yep.
Walter starts scoring, and there was your comeback. They erased that 12 really quickly. And, you got to give Florida, wow, defensively, the way they were able to lock up. You know, that Houston's the one we were calling, you know, saying, oh, man, they're going to win this tournament. It ended up being Florida that shut that. Because you win the game with Clayton Jr. scoring 11 points. I mean, you know, only getting 14 off your bench. They're not a deep team. There was nothing great offensively about that Florida effort. 25 from three, you know, 6 of 24. But you 17 of 21 is fantastic from the free throw line. You needed every one of them. But important, they won that game with defense. But it was Houston that came into the game more lauded for, right, that side, especially with what it had done to Duke.
Yes. Let's talk about the
very impressive, bud. Got to give Ty Golden credit, man.
Let's talk about just how impressive what Florida did was. Kelvin Sampson took over at Houston in 2014, the 2014-15 season. That was only in, what, 11 years? You know, 10 years, I guess, if you want to start from the back half of that season. So 10, 11 seasons for Kelvin Sampson at Houston is only the fourth time in the history of Kelvin's tenure there. that they have blown a 12-point second-half lead.
Well, you said whoever. I mean, we said we joked that it'd be have to be with 2:12 left, but you said whoever had the lead in San Antonio was going to blow it based on what we'd seen from history.
All three teams that were leading at half in San Antonio lost. All three of them. It was Duke leading at half against Houston. It was Auburn leading at half against Florida, and it was Houston leaving at half against Florida. So Houston led by 15. Three other times it happened that Houston blew a 12-plus point lead or more. They led by 15 against Alabama December 2nd, 2022. They led by 15 versus SMU in the second half February 9th, 2022. They led by 15 against Cincinnati in the second half February 1st, 2020. All these, of course, second-half deficits. So it's been it was the first time they've blown that big of a lead in the second half in 3 years. And only the fourth time since Kelvin took over. So just some perspective on how insane that was for Florida. I mean, Ty Golden obviously puts himself already at the top of the sport. I mean, that was a program that, when he took it over, did not have the juice it once had.
Oh, and he's coming from San Francisco. Right. Or we didn't expect him to come right. in and blow
totally
it up.
Not.
Let's be real.
Totally
I didn't.
No,
maybe
I
some of you experts
I did not.
Knew what this guy was at San Fran and potentially had, but he's going to be the guy to get Florida back on the map. That's,
yeah.
That's what I said when he was hired. I'm sure it was a lot of us.
Dude, I didn't even – I searched it. I never even tweeted about Todd Golden.
That's what I'm saying.
Like, I didn't think much of it at all.
And I'll tell you what. This is what I'm going to give him credit for, too. In that first half, when they were getting manhandled, he was on the officials. And I'm like, boy, he's whining, man. He is whining. He's not getting his way. And remember, I'm pulling for Houston like we had talked about. And so I'm sitting up here to, aha. You know, he's got Sankey right behind him. He's doing all the – tell me that it clearly left an impression with the refs. All they had to do, number one, was look at the foul, you know, sort of discrepancy in the first half, and especially early, but then you've got him all over you, and the refs changed the way they called the game in the second half.
Yeah.
And so there is something to working officials. And in this game, I'm telling you, now, you know, again, it was obvious in terms of early on, you know, Florida was about to be, you know, Houston's about to be in the bonus very quickly. It was obvious about the discrepancy. You didn't have to have a coach whining at you and yelling at you to know, hey, this is getting a little, but I do think, man, I think it paid off, and that's part of it. We've sort of brought that home sometimes with Penny and working officials. Mm-hmm. That's where it can pay off for you.
Yeah.
Because those officials are thinking about that. They're looking at the foul call total. Jeffrey pointed, it's like, uh-oh. Yeah, we better even this up. And I just think that whistle, that tighter whistle in the second half, it really discombobulated Houston. Can't use it as an excuse. And listen, we talk about coaching and who gets out coach, whatever else. You know, he's a Hall of Famer. What was his timeout situation? You turned the ball over three straight times.
Yeah.
Like, where's the gathering the guys? I know you think, hey, you just knocked off Duke from the Toy Poodle League, and this is all destiny. But you've turned it over on three straight possessions. You got to get this bucket now. Where's the timeout? Or somewhere, again,
yeah.
he's going to be, you know, going the what ifs
for the
rest of his life.
Yeah.
Off this one, because this one was in the bag.
It was.
So Kelvin Sampson, Hall of Famer, should have called timeout somewhere in there. Four last four possessions, all turnovers. Could not get a shot up.
It was just such a weird ending, you know, the way it just kind of like there was no foul, and they didn't get the ball in time. Like, nobody was close enough to Sharp to pick the ball up. Like, it was just kind of.
My son and I were, Sharp's got to get that shot off. I know on the fake. And
you got to put it up.
It has to go up.
Yeah.
It even if it's coming from
because nobody's near you.
No one.
Like, you can't.
No one. And time right there.
Yeah.
There was no. You have to get something up, even if it's off that double pump, because you got scared off the guy rotating over.
Yeah, man. I mean,
it has to go up there, even if it's ugly. You get it on the rim.
Yep.
With the way your team rebounds, the possibility maybe there's still time left to get a tip up. He has to get the shot off.
Yeah.
Sharp killed him.
Yeah. So, Florida is your 2024-25 national champ. So, listen, they're gonna have to rebuild totally, because they're losing everything, right? They're losing Walter Clayton Jr., they're losing Alex Condon, they're losing Elijah Martin, they're losing everybody, right? Houston, on the other hand, is gonna bring back everybody. Milos Uzan's gonna come back, Tuckler's gonna come back, Arsenault's gonna come back. They're adding some, McDonald's All-Americans, they're going to be okay. it still felt like this had to be the year for them. You know, you come back against Duke. You're leading by double digits in the second half. It feels like you really had to win this one.
It does to me.
You know?
But it's not just like Kelvin's. It's what you said about guys coming, but they got, is it two McDonald's All-Americans?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know. It's going to, I would say, light a fire. I mean, the fire's already pretty hot under Kelvin Sampson, but I imagine you come that close. Like, they're going to get more shots and more cracks at it. I'm not going to sit up here and say he's never going to win one. But, yeah, okay. People are telling me he was either out of timeouts or I'm still not.
I don't remember the.
I mean, four possessions, four straight turnovers. You can blame the players if you want to.
Yeah.
It's like we said with Penny. In the end, that's on you. That's on the coach.
Yeah.
You've got to get better execution, even if it's when the guys are walking up.
Yeah, I thought Florida.
He left it to them and failed them in that instance. Again, we put it on players.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people look at basketball that way. College basketball, put it all on players if you want to. In the end, it goes back to the coaches. In my book,
Sampson took his last timeout with 19 seconds left, right before that turnover. So he still had that one in the bag to draw something up. That's what he was saving it for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And again, Sharp just got closed out on, and he just panicked. You know, he just absolutely panicked. It's just funny to look at, like, the way their roster's built. You know, Walter Clayton Jr. they got from Iona. Elijah Martin they got from FAU. Will Richard they got from Belmont.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, they built their program with, you know, like low major guys, not even mid major. Like, I own a low major.
They had those Florida bigs just in their heads early.
They
I
did.
Said, "Boy, this is over."
Condon
this
was just traveling what every time. Took the
every
ball.
Time, dude, he wouldn't even look to. I mean, his feet, shuffling his feet every time.
Yep,
that's scared. That's fear when you see that level of player, that level of program doing that kind of. You had him right where you wanted him.
Right where you wanted him, man.
But I think the whistle and the fouls in the second half mattered.
Yeah,
I think it gave Clayton Jr. the confidence. Okay, I can get down late now and get this one. And one's going to drop for me sooner or later. And then he hits that. Then he comes around, hits the three. You know, the confidence starts going up, and that 12-point lead evaporated.
Yep. Yes, it did.
But they won it with defense.
They won it with defense.
That's the story. That Condon game, Florida won that
Condon
game with
actually
defense.
Ended up being really damn good.
Yeah, down the stretch.
Yeah, because he was didn't making
Hawk or however you pronounce it. Didn't he make a couple plays too down the stretch? They both stepped up down the stretch.
Howe had the and one.
Howe. Yes.
Yeah, he had the and one there on that breakaway. You know, which was huge. You know, and he kind of filled it up 5-3-5. Juwan Roberts struggled, only 8 points.
And SEC's first title since 12. That's the other part of the story. Kentucky. You capped off what folks could have said was, SEC 14 teams in the you know, a record in the NCAA tournament. What was it in the 16? Was it 7?
Yeah.
It's you know, the lead eight was 4.
Yep.
Of the final four was 2.
They stamped it.
You stamped it with the championship.
Yep.
And again, I'm just going to say it just because, you know, we talk about basketball mojo and gods and all that. You know, Kelvin kind of poked it in the eye of the ACC. I went back, John. Folks have written all about that. You're absolutely right. He was talking about the ACC and the Toy Poodle League. You know, and you had the best one down, 12 in the second half in the SEC, and the chance to stamp it is no. Y'all forgot about the Big 12. We're still the best, right? When it's championship time, we stamp it.
Yep.
And they let it go. And the SEC, with Sankey sitting there, stamp best ever season for a college basketball conference, get their first one since 12.
Yep.
Kentucky's the last one.
Yep.
And so if you had left that on the table, then you can argue, oh, man, well, y'all still aren't winning titles.
But right.
Florida, boy, made them proud this year.
Absolutely.
And stamped them as the best basketball conference in 2024-25 and going forward.
That's right.
For now.
I will say – I guess it all evened out because the Chinyelu technical foul was called, you know, but that missed goaltend
coming off the rim
was a 5-point swing because it led to a Florida 3 right after. I mean, that was a goaltend by the letter of the law. But I am willing to say that the Chinyelu technical foul is like the universe's way of making up for that missed call, because that ended up being a 3. That ended up being 3 points. The two free throws from LJ Cryer on the tech, and then Robert split. So I guess it all wound up evening out.
Yeah.
So
appreciate that, George. So that he used his last time out to set up the final play.
Yeah.
Poor.
Yeah.
Poor.
I did like the idea of going for the win. I did.
He said in the post game, that's what I'm talking about. He said all we needed was 2. He didn't say he could have made it clear we were going for the 3. That's where Cryer was to start.
Yeah.
And that's where Sharp ended up. But that, I mean, he made it sound like, and again, he could have been throwing his players under the bus.
Well, he kind of was, because he was asked about assists as well, and he said our players didn't make the shots.
He couldn't come off the last two possessions that Sharp turned over, turned it over. But again, one of the Florida players made a play there, the one that went off his leg, and you got to give Clayton Jr. the credit.
Yeah.
On the last play.
Yeah.
Where he keeps the guy from shooting it.
Yeah. So anyway, your 2024-25 national champs are the Florida Gators.
Yeah, Hall of Famer blew it.
If you ain't a Gator,
this program did.
If you ain't a Gator, George,
he'll tell you.
How's it go? Nobody knows.
George's an Ole Miss man. He should know. He plays them.
If you ain't a Gator, you're Gator bait.
Oh, I bet I know who taught you that.
I'm just going by the,
we don't say that stuff around here.
The chance, man. Gator bait. Houston ended up being Gator bait only for 64 seconds, which is the cruelty of it. But it was the most important 64 seconds.
I guess they did lead early, huh?
When you said that, I had to.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. They took a little lead there.
So, I mean, literally, it might have been the last 20 seconds of the game.
Crazy.
It really is. It really is insane.
He blew it.
I mean, it feels like they got robbed, but they weren't robbed. They just feel like they got stuck. Like they got stuck up.
I mean, they blew it just as much as Duke blew it.
No, they did.
You can't sit up here.
100%. It's weird how it kind of flipped.
Yeah,
but they did.
Because he poked his finger in the eye of the basketball gods.
That's right.
He had not won the title yet. There was no need to take a shot at Duke in the ACC.
Yeah.
He had not won it yet.
Yeah, I hated it for Kelvin. I feel bad for him because obviously, I think he does it the right way. I think he's a classy guy.
But he brought this on himself, it feels like.
Yeah, that was a tough one. Ty Golden gets his first one at 39 years old.
That's a young man. Well, they said the youngest since Valvano or youngest ever. I know that Valvano's in the sentence.
How about that?
Yeah, it is. It's impressive.
He's the youngest
for him
ever.
To do this coming from San Fran.
He's the youngest since Valvano did it 42 years ago.
I mean, to do this in year three?
Yeah. No, it's very impressive.
Coming from San Francisco.
Very impressive.
And to have your team playing at that high level.
Yep.
And when the offense lets them down, that's what they've been all season, their defense good enough to win the game for them.
Yes.
That's wow.
Yes.
But does it not feel it's a little uncomfortable?
Because of the stuff?
It's not me. I'm just saying nobody seems to want to just crown him in that way just because there were some, those things.
Mm-hmm.
Again, Chris Beard had things. We've said he's a good coach, and we've moved on.
That's right.
And I imagine we are going to do that, and we are doing it with Todd Golden.
That's right.
He's clearly a great coach.
There you have it. We'll talk to Jessica Benson, get her thoughts on the championship, the Grizzlies, and more. Stick around. Jason and John, 99 FM, ESPN.
Waiting for the best deals? Spring Black Friday savings are here. Shop early access now at Blinds.com and save big on new custom window treatments. At Blinds.com, shopping online for custom window treatments doesn't mean sacrificing on service, selection, or style. As the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, Blinds.com has hundreds of options to fit any decor and budget. Choose from stylish roller or bamboo shades, blackout options, and more. We even have motorized shades for your patio. DIY, or let our experts handle the heavy lifting. Blinds.com has you covered with free virtual consultations. We'll even send a pro to do the measure and install. Try before you buy with free samples delivered to your door. With over 25 million windows covered, every order's backed with Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Spring Black Friday early access now for up to 40% off with minimum purchase, plus a free measure. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
If you have health insurance, you might be able to see a personal dietitian for $0 out of pocket. Nourish connects you with a dietitian that fits your needs, covered by your insurance. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans, and 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. With hundreds of five-star reviews from real patients, you know you're in good hands. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
Jessica Benson is the host of the Jessica Benson Show with CJ Hurt, and I believe this is the first time we have gotten a chance to talk to her in a long, long time after a Grizzlies winning streak. This makes it so much better, doesn't it? I mean, let's just be candid with each other.
Infinitely so.
Before we get to the Grizzlies, college basketball championship last night, how do you feel about Florida?
That's a loaded question. I think on nature, I have trended my whole life towards being an SEC hater. So I will start with that. So if I have an opportunity to watch an SEC team fall, I'm probably going to be rooting for the other team. So I was pulling for Houston last night, but really from like a point of neutrality, because I really didn't care one way or the other. It was devastating to watch from the Houston perspective. And funny enough, probably my favorite player of the tournament ended up being Walter Clayton, and I know I'm not alone in that, but just his story from Iona to where he got with Florida and just the excellent plays he made. I mean, it became a tired Walter Clayton hitting giant threes in clutch moments to wired Walter Clayton making the defensive play to ultimately seal it for Florida moment for him last night, and he gets named as the most outstanding player of the tournament. But I know this will make some people groan. Like, it's really hard for me to just watch Todd Golden and not think about the complicated year that he had.
Right.
And for me, as like a woman who works in sports and loves sports and covers sports, like, it is so indicative of one of the most challenging things about being a sports fan, which is watching somebody who, and I know that the university cleared him of all allegations and the university kept their coach. But if you go back and read the reporting done by the student journalist at Florida who spoke to a variety of students and what he was accused of doing, it makes for a complicated viewing experience. So there's a very like multifaceted answer to a very simple question.
No, and I completely get it. I actually
Jason brought it up, which is kind of why I asked.
Yeah, I talked to John about it before the break, but it does. It provides us, when you say it bothers you, it should be stuff that we sit up and listen to, right? It's one thing for me to be bothered by it. It's another thing for you, a woman in sports. And so, I think it matters more when you say it, obviously, and that we need to be listening.
Right. You can only make so many jokes where you're like, that's sports, baby. And we do it all the time. But for Todd Golden to go from a Title IX investigation to start the season to a national title, like, that is the complete story. Those are facts. There was an investigation. Another fact is that the university cleared him of the allegations that were brought up. But again, I went back and reread the original article from the Florida student paper this morning, and you can still access it there. It's the Independent Florida Alligator is the name of the publication, and it was an article published back, I believe, in early November. And just read through it. Just remind yourself of the extra layer that certainly is attached to this piece. But, you know, I mean, it piles on to, and not to connect to completely different stories and arguments, but even coming out of the great jaw finger gun debate of 2025, and, you know, a lot of people naturally bringing up, well, is this really what the NBA needs to be using their investigative powers for when there are multiple accused people with domestic violence situations littered throughout the NBA? And, you know, you just kind of roll your eyes and move on, because that's what the situation has propelled itself into. If you want to be a fan of sports, if you want to watch sports, you're forced to reckon with these things happening. No, I'm not going to say like all the time, but at a fairly consistent pace.
Yeah. Did you right. How much pain did you feel for Kelvin?
A lot. And just if you go back and watch his mannerisms as that final play is taking place, I mean, he's pretty stoic. He's not yelling. He's not running up and down the sideline. It was almost like a slow motion. Oh my God, I cannot believe my dream is yet again, you know, going to pass me by in this moment. And he's 69 years old. And I'm not going to sit here and say Kelvin Sampson couldn't have another Houston team back in the equation next year. Like, he has proven to be one of the most consistent forces in the sport, and these Houston teams are consistently competitive year in, year out, but it's hard. It's really hard to win a championship, and I just can't imagine getting that close and having it all fall apart in the manner that it did.
This didn't cost him, certainly. The game was played. But was it not, would you agree that it was uncharacteristic of Kelvin on Saturday to poke in the eye of the ACC in terms of, it wasn't championship night. You won the semifinal, and we get it. You're going to the championship game, but aren't we used to Kelvin always praising the opponent? And I realize, you know, he clearly felt like Duke had gotten a lot of attention, but wasn't that different?
Yes, I also think it's indicative of like a different, I don't know, maybe just a different world. Even like Todd Golden didn't give any accolades to Houston in his immediate remarks following the win. And I feel like historically the winning coach has always at least been like, let's give it up for, you know, a hell of a season from opponent we just beat. But with Kelvin Sampson too, it also felt like he was really comfortable, because even if you go back to the Sasquatch State comment in the middle of the game last night, I don't know, he was just letting it fly. So I don't know if he was just excessively comfortable or situation where he wasn't thinking through the media side of things, maybe in the way that he has in years past. But I just found both of those things very, very out of character. So that's what made them so graspable, where everyone's like, wait, did he just say that? And it obviously has the virability of it.
All right. Grizzlies. These Grizzlies have won two in a row, including most importantly, including a win against a .500 team. A lot of people said they could never do it. A lot of people say it would never happen again, but it did against the Pistons, and now they get the opposite of that. They get the Hornets, who are 19-59. So, how are the vibes? Are we feeling we're staying out of the play-in? You tell
One,
me.
One, I've never felt better about a two-game winning streak in my life.
That's true. Right? It's true. I'm with you.
Put up the banner, ring the alarm. It does feel good, and I think you can also connect it to the competitive nature of the games between, like, we don't do moral victories ever, especially not this time of year. So I really wasn't a fan of some of that coming out of the Lakers Celtics Warriors game. Like, you lost those three, and those are critical games when you look at how the standings are. But you can be encouraged by trends that you've seen over the last five, even though it's just a two game winning streak. And as it pertains to the Hornets, like, I'm old enough to remember when we watched the Grizzlies lose to the Portland Trailblazers just a couple weeks ago. And I know a lot of changes have been made, including, you know, the coach situation and Tomas Isalo taking over in the interim role. And so this is a real good test. Don't get caught overlooking another team that is not playing to win basketball games, a Hornets team that shut LaMelo Ball down, a Hornets team that's won 19 games. And it is just so critical for the Grizzlies to go in there, take care of business, a complete TCB game. Hopefully you even get in a situation where you don't have to play your starters an excessive amount of minutes, because every bit you can save them for the crazy turnaround between that 8:30 p.m. tip against the Timberwolves into the on-the-road game against the Nuggets Thursday, Friday is going to be so imperative for this group.
What's encouraged you most or stood out to you most about the team under – it's five games now. It's still small sample size. We know nothing for sure. But what's jumped out to you if you were – in terms of pros for this team under Isalo?
Tightened rotation, I think, is easy. And it might not be the thing that has encouraged me the most, but I think it's the most notable is the difference in the handling of Zach Edey. It stands out. And I know he's coming off of a 21-rebound game, so how can you not pinpoint that? But, you know, this can go twofold. Like, you look at who Zach Edey has had these monster rebounding games against, and if there's a commonality, they're a little smaller. You get the Pistons without Jalen Duren. That makes a very different equation. But I think you can still be really encouraged by just the space that Zach Edey seems to be very comfortable in. And not only is he getting more minutes, the game is slowing down. The Grizzlies as a team are slowing down a bit, which I think trends towards helpfulness of Zach Edey. And he's just he's getting to rebounds in a way that we didn't see it. A lot of times early on in the season, it was like waiting for rebounds to come to him. And now it seems as if he is actively putting himself in the right position to start with and then seeking out those rebounding opportunities. And just knowing, I mean, to look at the game against the Pistons where the Grizzlies don't have a great offensive performance, you need every single one of those second chance opportunities. And with, I think it was seven of those driven by Zach Edey offensive rebounds of the 21 overall. That's huge, and that can swing games here down the stretch. So I think that's a really important thing. And if you're going to be starting a rookie, and I know they're starting two rookies going into a tight playoff race, and then ultimately you hope whatever the postseason looks like, you want them to be peaking now. And I think you are seeing that from Zach Edey.
Is there? I mean, obviously, if you don't want to wind up in the play-in,
no.
I mean, I don't even know like that. This was sort of the conversation we were having, you know, like when they were not headed for the play-in, like who do you want a first round series with? You know, like, I mean,
literally,
like if you had to, you know, if you had to pick. Like, you Rockets, Nuggets.
No. Yes. That's my pick right
you want,
now.
You want the Nuggets? You want to see the Nuggets? This is like when Kelvin Sampson called the ACC the Toy Poodle League.
No, I don't. Everything in my head and my heart, every part of my body says, of course you don't want to face Nikola Jokic in the first round. However, the Nuggets without Jamal Murray have really struggled, and they have gone from this Jamal Murray hamstring injury being a day-to-day situation to not really having a clear timetable on his return. I heard Michael Malone over the weekend say, you know, we hope that he's back by the time of the playoffs, but there's no guarantee there. I'll be really curious. If Jamal Murray's out on the court when the Grizzlies play the Nuggets on Friday, I might have a different answer. But for today, all you can do is look at perhaps the weakest link of the group, and there really isn't a weak link. So I'm searching for the Nuggets.
Yeah, they seem to be. You're right. I mean, they're in a free fall. Wendy was pointing that out, that in the end of this thing, they could be the one who's down a lot lower than where they're at right now, based on how things are. If we all agree that Oklahoma City is, I mean, you have to have a confidence in them in terms of what their record is of them coming out of the West. And who do you have the second most confidence on? Set Grizzlies to the side in the West, just in terms of a team that could come out. I mean, we know, you know, these older teams, Lakers and Golden State, you know, basically did overhauls in a way at the trade deadline in the impact that they've had those trades. Just, is it them? Is it Denver if Jamal Murray comes out of this? I'm just saying second in the West in terms of your, you know, belief in them, in terms of possibility coming out.
This will sound absolutely insane. I recognize that because it's zagging when everyone else is zigging.
Okay.
But like my husband Chris and I did this exercise over the weekend because we were watching the Warriors Rockets game. And so you go through in any series, who are the two best players on the court? And does that usurp the other side? So with the Lakers, you're of course going with LeBron and Luka. With the Warriors, you're doing Steph and Jimmy and throwing Draymond Green as a perfect 1-2-3. With the Clippers, you're going with Kawhi and James Harden. And all of that has validity. Watching that Houston Rockets team play the Warriors over the weekend made me really want nothing to do with the Houston Rockets, frankly. The physicality at which they play and this new deploying of running Şengün and Steven Adams at the same time with Adams coming off the bench. And Adams can't give you more than like 20 minutes, but when he's in, they're wild. And you have Thompson and you have Jalen Green and just all of that coming together and Jabari Smith back in the mix. They're just so long. And the coaching factor of Ime Udoka, I know this Rockets team is not tested. That is a fact, but you have a coach who kind of is.
Yep.
And can that play a part in making them maybe be more consistent in the postseason? I would be very curious. But just from a single game sample size of watching that Rockets team play over the weekend, I kind of changed my tune on them of, oh, they might be for real, for real. There's something there.
I like it.
So you would have
them
absolutely.
Them are the clips.
You'd have absolutely
I love the answer.
No issues if I tweeted, Jessica Vincent says on the show she wants to play the Nuggets in the first round. Like you would have no problem with that,
okay,
right?
What else are you going to pick? Who do you want to pick at this point?
I think that's really the only option.
I think
the Rockets have played so well. You know, I don't know. Yeah, it's like pick your poison, you know?
I mean, even looking at the Timberwolves, like I understand that the Grizzlies have beaten the Timberwolves twice this season, but if you remember, both were by a single bucket, and both were situations where Anthony Edwards took wild shots at the end of that game, right. And now the Timberwolves have won 5 in a row and are one of the hottest teams of this late season stretch. So I just, there's not really a, you're looking for an okay answer in a puddle of bad answers.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. So anyway, should be a lot of fun. Jessica, appreciate your time as always.
Thank you, Jessica.
Thanks, guys. Talk to you later.
She is Jessica Benson. Joins us every single Tuesday here on the show.
And she's right? With the current state of the Nuggets, it's them.
Yes. But again, not...
I mean, Lakers don't have real rim protection. That's the one thing about them.
But I don't want Luka in this first...
Of course you don't. No one does.
So, I even though they don't have it, I don't care.
Saying there'd be a place for Edie technically and Jaren to sort of do their thing around the rim, you would think, in that matchup.
Yeah.
But it's Denver that it's... probably the shakiest, right?
Yeah,
now.
I mean, just because they're not as deep, right? But mm-hmm. I still don't.
Westbrook does.
It's gonna be.
Things.
I mean, the Grizzlies are gonna be no matter who. Like, even if they, you
when
know,
you say Luka,
to,
well, I could say Jokic to that. You know,
exactly.
The same
no,
way.
You're right? No, yeah. It's true. I don't want any of these teams. I mean, honestly, like I don't feel like the Grizzlies are gonna be anything but a big underdog to these teams.
What do you think? Second after Thunder for you, who's second? She makes great points on Rockets. I think my pick. In asking that question is Clippers.
Yeah, that's interesting because you just think they have they're
healthy
in the front court
they're healthy
Lakers.
Enough. You know, Clippers are healthy enough to if you've got Kawhi and you've got James Harden and Norman Powell's having career season.
Yeah,
you know those you talk about experience. Those guys have it.
Yeah,
they could to me from even the spot that they're in tied with the Grizzlies could be the second best team.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's – I mean, there's no doubt when Kawhi is healthy, you know, that they are certainly with Ty Lue.
He looks healthy.
Yep.
They've gotten here, it feels like.
I mean, the Warriors are making a case.
They are.
You know, I don't necessarily think they're two.
They just feel so old. We should have beaten them.
They are old, and they don't have bigs either. I mean, that's their problem.
Ty Looney's still out there.
Yeah. So that's a problem. And then –
it's going to cost them in the end.
You know, the Lakers have just been kind of – iffy the last, you know, they had that first stretch where Luka got traded and they couldn't lose, and then LeBron got hurt, and they've been kind of iffy, you know. But I'd still say, like, I don't think anybody would want to see them in a series.
No, I mean, they just dusted OKC.
Yeah. So, and basically what they're doing is they're resting everybody tonight against the Thunder, so that tomorrow against the Mavs they're at full strength in Dallas for Luka's return. So
interesting.
Look out, Dallas. That's going to be a bloodbath for you. Luke is going to come down there and put up 50.
He was staring at Nico in L.A., so yeah. We know what the energy is going to be like. You're right down there, though. Yeah. He's going to try to you know what him.
Yep, but Anthony Davis came back, right?
Back and committed.
Yeah.
Unless he got hurt again.
Yeah.
That man was guarding Trey at the end of a game
after
putting him up.
They did. Like, they did lose twice in a row, though, to the Clips. So
AD's trying all he can.
He is. All right, we'll come back with the rundown. Lots more to come. Way too early. Top 25s are out in college basketball. Is Memphis included? What are they doing in the portal? There's a new name, a local guy. Get into that and more. Stick around. Jason and John, I'm trying to film ESPN.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps. Restrictions apply.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality. quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean. Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.